You're listening to Leaning Toward Wisdom. This is episode 5033. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Let me update you very quickly here on Project Craving Encouragement. Hashtag Craving Encouragement. Thanks to you guys, I'm closing in on the financial goal. I'm not there yet. So if you are so disposed to make a contribution, please do it. I will happily thank you for it. And there are some rewards coming your way if you do. Big thank you to everybody who has contributed. You can find out more by going to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Click on Support This Podcast in the navigation, and you can learn all about this project. I'm mostly anxious, very anxious, to gather your stories of a time when you were encouraged in a meaningful way. Side note here, it's really interesting to me. I don't think, and don't hold me to this, but I don't think I have heard a story since I began this mission. I don't think I've heard a story of anyone who got encouragement within like the last 10 years. Now maybe that means I'm talking to old people, but that's not true. I'm talking to some younger people too. It's amazing how many of these stories go back to childhood. And they go back to a first boss. And then after that, it's like there's this dearth. It's really remarkable. Partly why I'm involved in this project, Craving Encouragement. Again, go to leaningtowardwisdom.com. Support this podcast in the navigation, and you can find out more. Short sprinting the marathon. Yeah, that's right. Short sprinting the marathon. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. Yeah, who says? Well, they say. Everybody says. I mean, it's just another thing that sounds smart, but yeah, okay, maybe it's not smart. Well, okay, forget about smart. The question is it accurate? Yeah, not likely. I watched yet another documentary on Janis Joplin. It was the other night during a bout of insomnia. It happens. Janis died at the age of 27, along with a host of other rock and rollers like Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix. It's quite a popular age, it seems, to check out if you are given to indulgences, excess. There's even a 27 club. I'll put a link in the show notes if you care to go over there and read more about that. It's not like this is grand. I don't think it's this grand conspiracy. I guess 27 years is a marathon compared to two, because life is relative. But lifespan isn't usually what we're referring to when we say things like life is a marathon, not a sprint. Mostly, I think people mean things take time. And I think mostly it's an encouragement for us to be patient. And so I think that's the purpose. The saying is really an exhortation to endurance, patience, stick-to-itiveness, and all that. But it does imply something more, that slow and steady is the path to success, and that fast is or may be the enemy. Is that right? Well, it can be, but not necessarily. The truth is likely far more complicated and difficult. Human endeavor largely depends on our beliefs. And that's why these are important topics for us to wrestle with, important for us to think about, and yet even more important for us to figure out so that we can implement positive changes in our lives and make improvements where we need to. Does it take a long time to make a positive change? Is growth always a marathon? Can we not change our minds and our lives quickly? We're human beings. And as human beings, we have the greatest capacity for achievement and adaptation more than any other creature on the planet. Yes, we do. other creatures, they require more time to adapt because they have to experience changes before they adapt, or even before they begin to learn to adapt. You and me, we're not plagued with that. We can think about it in our minds before we ever experience it, and that gives us the opportunity and the ability to make changes quickly. Humans have this innate ability to figure things out, and quite frankly, to figure them out quickly. Now, this may be on more of a micro or a short-term level, but it does have a macro or a longer-term ramification. We can figure out what to do next rather quickly. I mean, just think about it. Think about your life. The very next thing to do, the very next move, the very next shot, you can figure that out about most anything rather quickly. People do things, they say things, and we face new circumstances or situations. And if life were really a marathon, well, if it really were a marathon, we'd be stuck trying to navigate our way through all these new people, all these new situations that we face. But that's not the case. Now, sure, some folks can do it more quickly than others, but every human being blessed with sufficient cognitive ability and mental health has the capacity to figure out rather quickly, what should I do next? Now, there's just one little catch. Well, okay, it's not so little of a catch. We don't always implement wisdom in figuring it out. Long-term listeners of this podcast know how I define wisdom, but let me give it to you again. It's not a very complicated the way I think of it because, well, I'm not real complicated. Wisdom is getting it right in real time. Wisdom is getting it right in real time. And we can all get it right in hindsight. Some of us may need a few times, but the real catch is to figure it out in real time, to get it right as it's happening. And it's really hard because the time pressure is real. Now, there are many psychiatrists and psychologists, and Lord knows I have read and watched and seen talks, and I mean, there's just a host of information by these people about how we can improve our brains, which should translate into how we can think better. There's quite a lot written, quite a lot said about reality. And I bring this up because we don't always see the reality of time. Is this a sprint? Is this a marathon? How can I tell the difference? Well, sometimes you can't. But we seem to almost always be under the pressure of time. Most decisions feel like sprinting is what we need, right? We've got to sprint to this next decision. Do we really have time to ponder this some more? Deadlines don't help, and our lives are full of deadlines, many of them self-imposed. What is taking us out of reality? That's a question that I saw one mental health professional ask. What is taking us out of reality? And I thought, at first, I thought, well, that sounds pretty smart. But after about 15 seconds, I began to question, well, how do I know I'm being taken out of reality? I mean, I could be just so delusional, I don't know what reality is. Now, contextually, the doctor seemed to mean what is taking you out of what you know to be true. And he illustrated it like this, and this helped. I hope it helps you. Suppose you're telling yourself, I can't do this. I'm never going to be able to do this. Well, why are you saying that to yourself? Are you saying that to yourself because you just haven't mastered it yet? Question, did you get everything you ever tried? Did you get it right on the very first try? Well, how many things have you been able to eventually get right? And when a person answers those questions truthfully, honestly, they may rightly conclude they don't know why they're telling themselves this negative thing. Because the truth is, they've rarely mastered anything right off the bat, but they can look back through the stream of time of their life and realize they've mastered most everything that they set out to master, then why in this moment am I telling myself, you can't do this, you'll never be able to do this? That's the reality. Well, that's what your voice is saying, but that isn't the reality. That's not the reality at all. The reality is you've been able to do tons of things. So now you've got to get to the root of what is taking you out of that reality. What is taking you out of reality? the question wants the answer to why you are telling yourself you can't do this thing when reality has proven to you that you likely can. Now, that's just his illustration, but it was meaningful. By stopping long enough to ask the question and by walking through those reality checks, we can quickly figure out if our self-talk, is that based on evidence or is that just my emotional frustration here in this moment? Patience is a funny thing. You know, like most kids, I didn't have much of it. Older people in my life, I would remember hearing, especially grandparents and people of that generation, urge me to not stop wishing your life away. Before I got my driver's license, I couldn't wait, or so I thought. You know, stuff like that. Don't wish your life away. You know, can't wait until I'm 16. Can't wait until I'm 18. Don't wish your life away. It didn't feel like that's what I was doing. I never did feel like I was wishing my life away because from my perspective, I was just very anxious for what was next. I couldn't wait for what was next. My assumption was that what's next is going to be way better than this. And some of that has never left me. Some of it I've given up on, knowing that, you know, such a day is never going to come. Some hopes and dreams die along the way. That's just the reality. Sorry to burst your bubble. When you're a kid, you feel like you've got a lot of time left, but you just can't wait for it to get here. And when you're old, you know you've got limited time left, but you rather hope the wait's pretty long. It's this odd thing that happens somewhere along the timeline of your life. Being patient and being anxious, I suppose it happens within each of us simultaneously. Me? Well, I'm patiently anxious a lot these days. That's right. Patiently anxious. Nearly every day of my life, I'm patiently anxious. It's that old hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Do you do that? Life's a lot like that. In the tortoise and the hare, in that parable, the hare is sprinting ahead and then resting, waiting, and then sprinting some more and resting some more and waiting. But he's overtaken by the tortoise during that last rest. Now, of course, life isn't necessarily a race. I mean, if it is, I do not know what we are racing. And I don't know how we would know if we won. We live our lives. We live however long we live. If I could figure out what I was racing, then I might better know how to run. Racers win by arriving there first. Whatever defines the finish line, that's where there is. If death is the finish line for this life, and it is, then I need to get there first. Well, congratulations, Janice. You're ahead of me. I mean, if something else gets there before me, what have I lost? I mean, see my point? But we're part of the human race. Does that mean we're all racing each other? And if so, then is the measurement time? Is it money? Is it stuff? Is it experiences? Is it accomplishment? What is it? Is it all of the above? Is it none of the above? I don't have a clue. Except for one thing. What is our capacity? What is our capacity for anything and everything? People focus on potential. And maybe it's worthwhile. I'm not real sure. Because I'm not able to quite get a handle on my own potential. So I'm in no position to judge yours. And if one believes that he is able to, quote, change the world, this is a common goal that I hear nearly every day. People will say out loud on social media, you know, I want to change the world. Well, okay, well, if that's what you want to do, then are you responsible for changing the world? And if you don't, then have you failed to live up to your potential? I mean, is it wrong of me to believe or even to know with the highest degree of certainty that I don't know about you, but I lack the capacity. I do not have the ability. I do not have the talent to change the world. Now, maybe you do. Hats off to you if you do, but I don't. What's taking me out of reality? Hey, I'm not the one claiming I can change the world. Ask that fella. I mean, what's taking him out of reality? He's the one that's deluded, I think. My critics would tell me, oh, you're being negative. You're negative. I don't think so. I just wonder what's possible. And I'm always going to think that it can be better. This really set me on a trajectory with my whole career in leading people and organizations was always the drive, not overly so, not in a way where I couldn't enjoy the moment and I couldn't certainly brag about the present accomplishment, but we can do better. Come on, we can do better. And it doesn't mean I'm necessarily dissatisfied, but it means I don't know. I don't think we've arrived. Yep, that's it. Nailed it. I'm never going to feel this way again. That's it. I'm out. You know, it's a mic drop moment. I'm never going to feel that way. I'm never going to feel that way about anything. Which brings me to the truth of potential. It's fictional. It's fictional because nobody ever achieves it. Now, it doesn't mean it's not worth chasing. It just means you're never going to arrive. Not fully. I dropped out of college with something less than 18 hours needed to graduate. Did I live up to my potential? Well, hardly. I left a boatload of potential on State Street near the front gates to LSU. Did I think of how that decision would play out? No, not really. I just did it because I was making plenty of money selling stereo gear, and my wife and I just got married and wanted to get closer to the Dallas-Fort Worth area where she was from. Some of you won't understand this, but a big driver for us was spiritual. Church-wise, we determined it was time to leave, and so we left to put ourselves in a better position spiritually. Do I wish I would have finished those last hours? Kinda, sorta. Do I wish I had a degree from LSU today? Yeah, kinda, sorta. But it would have required mostly another year, and my patience was done. I was more anxious than patient. And besides, I left thinking, I'll finish my degree elsewhere. We moved to Oklahoma, state where I was born, and that was the plan, at least in my head. The plan was, I'll go back to school and I'll finish up. It just never did happen. Careers happen. And maybe most people, they architect theirs. I didn't. Mine absolutely just happened. One thing led to another thing, which led to another thing. And before you knew it, I had a family. And along the way, I learned the sprints toward greatness were really short. I mean, the sprint to the finish line, if you were able to cross the finish line, that was a moment. It was nothing more than a moment. The marathons of failure, man, they just seem to never, it's like, I'm never going to, this is never going to end. In the beginning, it was especially arduous. I'm talking about the beginning of our marriage. We struggled. I struggled, but we made it. Thanks to God's blessings, hard work, lots of suffering. Heavy emphasis on the suffering, and our collective inability to just do anything different than just get up and fight every day. Today, it feels like I sprinted to something that may not have been worthwhile, but how am I to know? I've sprinted a lot through my life. I would have been a cartoonist. I would have been a writer. I would have been a college professor. They all crossed my mind. They all crossed my mind in junior high and high school, and few other things than those things crossed my mind. Well, okay, dropping out of college sort of killed that last one, that college professor stuff. I never pursued any of these. Oh, well, okay, writing is something that's been a lifelong habit, and I've always done it. Most of it has not been for public consumption. It only became public consumption when the internet came around, and it doesn't mean I'm good at it. It doesn't even mean I know how to do it properly. I've been paid a total, I think this is right, I've been paid a total of $100 for being a writer. And that was for a hockey magazine back when I was coaching hockey. And I wrote an article and submitted it. And they took it and they published it. And they sent me $100 check. That's $100 more than I ever earned teaching college or drawing cartoons. So there's that. My life has been spent in business. And there are parts of business that I absolutely love and am passionate about. Accomplishment and leadership, building organizations. Parts of it I hate, but I wasn't sprinting toward or away from it. I was plodding rather tortoise-like through business. Mostly, I was interested in human behavior. This is really what drove me. I was interested in employees and customers alike, and I paid very close attention to how they acted and how they reacted. I was fascinated by shopper behavior. And I have been since I was a kid. I paid close attention. I was a noticer. I've always been a noticer. Fascinated by people. Okay, not too much so. I mean, not enough to want to get too close to too many of them. Yeah, rather preferring to just watch them in the wild. I just want to get close to a select few people. And yes, I want to choose them. I don't want them chosen for me. And then I want to steer a comfortable distance away from everybody else. It's true. I'm just giving you the truth. But that's the introvert in me. Time goes fast, and then it picks up speed. And life goes slow until it starts going fast. And then it goes really fast. Today, at this age, I've got perspective. I know more than I once did. I know a lot more than I once did. And not just the stuff I know I don't know, but the stuff that I honestly do know, the stuff that I'm quite sure about. And the big question I think for all of our lives as we are sprinting, this short sprinting, this marathon, the big, big question is what's next? What's next? It's the question you're asking. It's the question I'm asking. Even kids are asking it. What's next? Well, life is mostly a sprint to what's next. When the kids were little, it was the family battle cry. If you've got little kids, it's the battle cry in your home too. Now what? What are we going to do now? I mean, it was the incessant question that was asked as we pulled out of the parking lot of Six Flags after an 8-hour exhaustive prowling through the park. Well, now what are we going to do? It was asked as if we got in the car after a 4-day stay somewhere. And it was, now what are we going to do? It was asked after we left a ball game or a hockey game or some other night out like that. Well, what are we going to do now? Now we're going to go home and sleep, was mostly my response. And that seemed to always be an unpopular reply, by the way. Like the hare, I was sprinted out. I was ready to rest. Because you know what I've learned? Tortoise life is not real for anybody. Not for anybody I know. There is no tortoise life. It's a grand parable. It may try to teach some worthwhile lesson. It escapes me what it is. Slow and steady may win the race, but nobody I know is poised to break the tape at the finish line. We don't call it a rat race for nothing. All the rats I know are running like crazy toward who knows what. What's next? Where's the cheese? What was that book? I so loathe those kinds of books. You know, where's my cheese? Oh, cheesy. You know, many people in this rat race, including me quite often, haven't got a clue. I've rarely had a clue. There have been just moments where I thought I had a clue, only to find out, no, not so much. I mean, it seems like running faster is just required. And yet the metaphor that I've always made is it's like pushing water up a hill. It's super ineffective and difficult to do, but it's the job. Push that water up that hill. Now, some years later, as the kids grew older, I realized we're not running toward anything. Not really. We're running away from. Well, now we're getting somewhere. I remember thinking this. Wait a minute. What are we running toward? We're not running toward anything. Ah, we're running away from things. You know, sprinters like Usain Bolt, masterful. I mean, you watch this guy move. It's artful. It's graceful. It's remarkable. And then you watch crooks running from cops. Right, they are not masterful. They're not artful. They're not graceful. They're not remarkable. They're clumsy. They're awkward. They're stupid. Yeah, I can relate to them. These are my people. Well, not in their criminal endeavors, but their ability to flee or to sprint. I can relate to the way these crooks run from cops. It's clumsy. No idea where they're going. Headed into a dead-end corner with fencing and buildings all around. No way to escape. That was a smart move. Way to run down that cul-de-sac and hem yourself up. These are my people. Some are, some aren't. Some do, some don't. You know, there was a line that Steve Martin delivered. I was in college at LSU, and I was in journalism school, so I had to have a T-shirt made that said this on the front. Some people have a way with words. And on the back, it said, others not have way. You'll have to Google it. I'm sure Steve Martin delivered the line with great aplomb. remember, I was in journalism school, so it was especially topical at the time. Well, in this race of life, I certainly have spent way more time feeling like the person who not have way. It has long seemed like others, they had way. I didn't have way. They had way. Why don't I have way? Businesses love to project hockey stick growth. Hockey stick growth is, well, it's shaped like a hockey stick. That's why it's named appropriately. It starts off with this slight upward trajectory, but then it just goes up sharply, just takes off, going almost straight up, just like a hockey stick. And such growth, we think, is that's ideal. That's exactly how we want it. It's not terribly realistic for most businesses, though, and many businesses that do experience that kind of growth find it really difficult to manage and navigate. Instead, my businesses had growth that quite often looked more like a snake run over by a car on the highway. That's not true. But many businesses do have that. That is what their growth looks like. And that's if things are going well, flat. The worst case scenario is a snake that's pounded into the gravel road, dead as Ned. And that's how a lot of businesses operate. Life's like that. Life is like that, just like the businesses are like that. All these high achievers, all their hockey stick growth or their supposed hockey stick growth, careers that go straight up and they just keep going higher and higher and higher, and people who go from one great thing to something, hey, even greater. No slumps, no downturns, no problems, no constraints, no challenges, just upward trajectory with no end in sight. And as we stand here, gazing upward in amazement at their prowess and sprinting from one remarkable achievement to yet another and another and still another, and they are experiencing orbits that just seem to go higher than any that we could ever imagine, because there certainly is not enough oxygen up there for us to survive. On rare occasions, I take off my rose-colored glasses. Okay, they're not so rose-colored. Really, they're green. And I look a bit more closely at one of these high-orbiting, rotating achievers. And something weird appears. Something really weird appears. A dent in the armor of their superiority. And sometimes a rather big dent. A psychiatrist with tons to say about living the good life, improving your brain, and most anything else that has to do with reaching your ideal self, reaching that vast potential that is your life. I see a picture of him with his wife. Wait a minute. What? I mean, this woman is easily half his age. I dig into his life a little bit. She's wife number 3. Well, there you have it. His hockey stick life has involved a few hockey fights that have knocked out a few of his teeth. Wait, that's a bridge in his mouth. Those are not his real teeth. But you never know unless you look closely, and most don't. Most don't care. And suddenly I feel better. I feel better about myself. Well, I feel better about him too. He's human. Okay, good for him that he went younger at the wife position. I'm assuming number 1 and number 2 got some money out of the deal, but what do I know? What do I care? Because we all pick our nose sometimes. So much for you and me being our ideal self or reaching our full potential. Anymore, you know, I'm just happy to reach the next rest area. And there it is. There it is. There's the lead I always bury. Life is a sprint and a marathon. We're all short sprinting the same marathon. The race is to the next rest area. We're not racing each other. We're just trying like crazy to sprint to the next rest stop so we can stop sprinting for a while. Life is about sprinting so that we can stop sprinting. String enough sprints together and eventually we will find ourselves at the last rest stop. And then finally, at long last, the sprinting will end.
Come on, Comet.
And there it is. You've just witnessed episode 5033 of Leaning Toward Wisdom. That was Ray Barone. Everybody loves Raymond. Come on, Comet. Yeah, we've all felt that way. It's what life is like, short sprinting the marathon. I hope all is well with you. Hope we have provided some insight, some levity, some seriousness, because it is Leaning Toward Wisdom. And it is Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. My name is Randy Cantrell. I hope you will visit the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. I really, really, really hope that you will click the subscribe button and subscribe to the podcast. If you care to participate, Craving Encouragement, it's a project. It's kind of a passion project, much like this podcast. LeaningTowardWisdom.com in the navigation, click on Support the Podcast. No money is required. It's appreciated, but it's not required. You can find out all the details there. I really would like your stories of a time when you were encouraged in a meaningful way. And I'd like to share that in future episodes, a future episode or two. If you do make a financial donation, I will be getting on a Skype call with you, and with your permission, I will be recording said Skype call, and I would like to share that audio with my audience, if you approve, and I hope you will. Today is Saturday, July the 13th, 2019. I hope all is well with you. I'm trying to get on a more regular schedule. I hope you find the podcast helpful and meaningful, and I hope it is a source of encouragement for you. If you're not inside the private Facebook group, I know I'm giving you tons of calls to action, which is way not the right thing to do, but you know I don't care. You can join the Facebook group. Just a couple of real simple questions that you do have to answer. I forgot that those questions were even there. I go in the other day and somebody didn't get the answer correct. I let them in anyway, but I thought, man, I forgot that I set that up for people to answer questions, but they're super easy. If you've listened to just one episode, you'll be able to get it. My name is Randy Cantrell. City of origin is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.